Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
2016 sucked. 2017, I don't know if it's going to be any better.
Hello and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for January 6, 2017. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Hey, thank you, Janine Fadich, and thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast.
First of the new year.
Yeah, happy new year.
Woo. We hope.
We hope, maybe. Yeah, maybe. We don't know. It's, we've been gone for a few weeks.
Yes.
We went to go spend some time with our two sons and their wives and had a marvelous time.
And you came down with that thing that everybody's come down with. So
yes.
We missed the end of the year.
Had the flu.
Podcast.
So I sounded like this. It was kind of awesome.
Like Jabba the Hutt?
Knock solo. No, that was more like Froggy from...
Oh, right. From all those old movies.
Yes.
Yes.
Anyway, so we've skipped a couple of weeks, and what the hell did I write, Janine?
Well, basically for the past couple of weeks, I'm talking about how 2016 sucked and 2017 may not look any better.
What's wrong with
whining about stuff? But we have lots of comments.
Why can't I be an optimist?
I don't know.
Well, you've described me. I was actually one of the loveliest things you ever said about me. Which,
but you're the most pessimistic optimist or the most optimistic pessimist?
Yeah, but that's true.
This is true.
I like to consider myself a cautious optimist.
That works. You're usually pretty cheery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, life is good.
Good guy
I'm lucky.
All around and all that stuff.
Hey, white privilege and entitlement. Right on. I'm all for it.
Well, we have comments. So I'm going to read this one from John from St. Paul, Minnesota, who writes and says, I generally enjoy Prickly City. And today, he's discussing about December 29th, in which Carmen complains about the election, was no exception. But I do take exception to labeling the recent election as most un-American. I found the election invigorating. I particularly liked that no one knew what would happen next. And who doesn't like to see the media get their collective talking heads handed to them? On the downside, it does appear that a certain voter, demographic, actually believed their own propaganda against a certain candidate, leading to unnecessary angst and feelings of despair after the unexpected result. But as a cranky old curmudgeonly survivor of many unpresidential campaigns, I find that even a bit amusing. I hope Carmen will get involved in the next big battle, which is to keep the new president from becoming a blonde version of the outgoing one, with respect to abiding by the Constitution.
Well, thanks, John. And it was invigorating. That was a close call on the freeway. It doesn't mean I want to do it. And when I said un-American, he's not the first one to challenge me on this. I actually got an email directly to me.
I don't have another comment here saying that too.
Go ahead.
But
go ahead. What do they say?
Well, this comment, Carl Me, says it was a very American election. Complaints, unqualified candidates, slanted media, idiot pundits, election irregularities, hypocrisy.
Who was that?
It was Carl Me.
Carl Me?
Carl Me? Carl, that's what it looks like. C-A-R-L-M-I. That's how I'd pronounce it.
Okay. So Carl Me. And, you know, I mean, and that was the point, is that... everything beginning from, the DNC trying to gin the system for Hillary, which they did, to just the tone, tenor, and level of debate and discourse. It was, to
and
my
the Russian
mind,
involvement?
Well, now. We didn't know that then.
But it was there.
Well, we always knew that. We may have, that's something I'm going to write about in the strip coming up in the following months, of course, is the Russian involvement and the inserting their propaganda, really, is what it comes down to, more than it was... anything, you know, hacking into emails or anything else. But that's what I meant by un-American in terms of this election. I really did feel like that. There was no lofty rhetoric from anyone ever, particularly from the Republican
kind of down
candidate.
In the mud type of election.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's where that comes from. Will 2017 be a, you know, god awful? I would be lying and I would be remiss if I said I was optimistic. And I know we were joking earlier, but honest to goodness, a kid who I'm sort of mentoring here at the Tribune came into my office and said, "You have to cheer me up. I'm really pessimistic about the future." I said, "Well, you probably should be." You know, it's, I think that this administration, there are so many question marks, so much uncertainty. We just don't know. And going by his rhetoric and his seventh grade vocabulary, I'm guessing that things could go very bad very quickly. Obviously, as an American, as a proud American, I hope I'm wrong, but and we will see. Starting the 20th, we're going to find out.
We will, but according to a lot of commenters, it's kind of your fault.
Really?
Yes, because John writes.
I can go with Richard Nixon's response during Watergate. He said, I take responsibility, but not the blame.
Well, they're blaming you because you've been complaining about Trump being elected. And John writes, should have thought of that before Honey Bunny and Clinton to death. Hypocrite.
What?
Yep.
What?
Because you bashed Clinton in the form of Honey Bunny. So that's one of the reasons Clinton was elected. Come on. There's more.
Oh, gosh.
Martha wrote, you helped get Trump in by joining the many who demonized Hillary Clinton. And no amount of cartoon regrets can ever change that. Are you happy now?
I love the cartoon. Do you suffer from cartoon regret? Out of 10 men do.
J.A. says, so for all your Hillary bashing over the last 2 years, you got the skunk. I hope you're happy.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Did any of them notice that I did not endorse Trump or actually drew him as a skunk and endorsed Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate for president?
And here's another one.
Oh, God.
This one I really like because I like the way she signed it. You've done nothing for months and months but disparage Hillary Clinton and throw some more Republican, can't say, at her, trying to get something to stick. You did your small best to make sure we didn't elect the most qualified candidate in decades and did elect the worst candidate in history. And now you publish this BS? Are you schizophrenic or just stupid? Sincerely, Carol.
Can't I be both?
I guess. I just like that. Sincerely.
Sincerely. You know, I thought both candidates, like most Americans, which is not true, Hillary had a 60-odd% negative negative on the polls. He had somewhere close to 70. I mean, both of them were despised. I happen to agree that they were both despicable candidates. I felt there was a legitimate alternative. The press, I think most of it directed by the Hillary and the campaign, the Democratic National Committee, decided to go after both Gary Johnson and Jill Stein, who was the Green Party candidate, because they were starting to make inroads. And I mean, Johnson was polling at 12, 13, 14% nationally. And she felt that those are my votes. So they went after him. And he made some mistakes. I'm not going to justify Aleppo or I can't name a foreign leader. I mean, those were both goofs. But how many times a day did Hillary and Trump screw up? A day.
They had better...
No, they had
spin guys.
Well, they did. People. They had a whole party apparatus behind them who could spin these things and fix them. Gary Johnson and Bill Weld, who again, terrific candidates, would have been magnificent, really great presidents and vice presidents of the United States, did not have that luxury. So when they did goof up, and Gary did, and he was apologetic and recognized it right away, there wasn't something to step forward in. But I've ended up voting for them. I'm proud of my vote. And I stand by it. And if that meant, you know, I voted the way my beliefs told me to vote, which is how you should vote.
You didn't promote Trump in the strip. I mean, you portrayed him as a horrible, impetuous skunk.
Yeah.
I mean, how much worse can you get?
I guess not. I guess you'd have to get worse. I don't know.
Well, I think that people just think that if you think he's really bad, then you should simply vote for the lesser of two evils. And you didn't want to do that.
I didn't. I wanted to vote for someone I wanted to vote for. You know, someone who I can today say I'm proud of. I voted for Gary Johnson. I am. And I'm glad. And in fact, he's the first person we've ever had on this podcast. We have an interview with him and Governor Weld as well. And so, you know, I will stand by that vote until the day I die. So, and if you can't see that in the strip, people get blinded. People are partisan. People want to believe what they want to believe. And if you disagree with them, especially in this day and age where you get a constant, you know, electronic feed of information that only confirms what you believe, well, now we're going to have this discussion. And it's going to be bad, folks. I mean, it's just going to, Donald Trump could declare a fascist state, or he could cure every disease on the planet, have 0% unemployment, and the left would still berate him, or the right would castigate him for, you know, how dare he use government sources to for, you know, resources for this. I mean, we're entering very, very dark waters, in my view, in terms of the political discourse.
Well, there was a lot, especially around the holidays, of people discussing how they're going to deal with family members who voted a different way than they did.
I know. And there's also
a lot of discussion on that. Like, well, I don't want to talk to so-and-so if they voted for Trump or...
Right, a political free zone. And I'm just, you know, and if you have Trump, you know, what do they call it? Trump dementia? Oh, God, what's it called now? Where you just like, you know, you have to go to a therapist because Donald Trump got elected.
I don't know what that's called.
Oh, there's a name for it, I'm sure. If you're listening, shoot us an email and let us know with the name, because I'm having a senior moment, which I do almost every podcast now.
Because you're a senior.
No, I'm not.
Well, getting there, you're practicing for when you are.
Oh, it's just going to be worse.
But Dinky Town actually had a comment on that, because people Dinky Town.
Okay.
People were commenting about how they're not going to be talking to certain family members. And he said that, or she said, I have friends and relatives who voted for Trump because they dislike Clinton more than they dislike Trump. That's fine with me, even though I disagree. I might have a problem with someone who actually admires Trump, but I have a don't ask, don't tell policy when it comes to religion and politics. I save that stuff for online, the way God and George Washington intended.
Thank you, Dinky Town. That's wonderful. I don't know how to respond to that other than she's absolutely right.
Or he. Or he or she. Not sure.
Them. I'm not going to judge.
No.
I can't. Whatever. So you said we had one more actually.
We have one
nice.
More, and we can kind of end on a note of someone saying something
of optimism,
about
of hope.
You. David wrote, I love tuning into your comic every day. I know you make them weeks in advance, and I appreciate the effort you put into them. It's nice to see a source of media that isn't tainted by a liberal agenda. I'm writing to ask what your opinion is on the peaceful transition of, what the opinion, yeah. It was written kind of funny, sorry. What's your opinion is on the peaceful transition of this election? I love your podcast and hearing your opinion. Thanks.
Oh, who is this?
This is David.
David, thank you so much.
Sorry, I hope
you're listening. Yeah, you know, okay. Yeah, I am going to leave on a positive note, believe it or not, this grouchy old man who forgets things. But look at this transition. I mean, this really is, Ben, you have a transformative figure in the White House now in Barack Obama, despite what you think of his policies. I mean, the fact that we have an African-American president is historic, and it's wonderful. It's something that should be celebrated. And he's transitioning to, well, our first orange president. So we have that. Mm-hmm. But he, more important, I mean, this really is historic. I'm a, you know, an amateur historian, especially on the presidency, and Donald Trump, there's nothing to compare him to. There's maybe the 1828 election with the election of Andrew Jackson, but Andrew Jackson had been elected to the U.S. Senate twice. He'd served as a judge. This wasn't a guy who was ill-prepared or unprepared for elective office and had some experience with it. So all of that being said, we are having on January 20th in this country, Barack Obama is going to leave the Oval Office and go to an inauguration of someone that you clearly know that he doesn't much like and certainly didn't support. Watch him being sworn in, and he, Donald Trump, will then go to the Oval Office, and it will be his office, and he will be our president. And that is a remarkable thing. Every 4 years or 8 years, it remains the thing that I stop for a moment and just marvel at the wonder and the amazing idea that America exists at all. And that it continues to exist into its, you know, entering, coming close to its, you know, up to its third century. So thank you for that. And thank you, Janine Fadich, for sitting in here. And Michael Heidemann is not producing today, so we actually might hear the voice of Craig Collins who is producing for us now.
Hey, Scott.
Hi, Craig. Thank
my
you.
Voice.
That see,
he exists.
See, he does exist. Now, can you tell the listeners that Michael Heideman did exist?
Michael Heideman's a person. He exists, and he's the CEO of WGN Plus, as I call him, because he works on everything on WGN Plus. So he might be doing something else right now. I don't know.
No, he left.
Okay.
He's a busy guy.
But anyway, Craig Collins, I've known now for, I think, what?
A while.
30 or 40 years.
Yeah, I think about 40.
Yeah, you saved my life. He saved my life in Vietnam. It's a true story. We're going to another podcast.
Carry you all the way across whatever ocean or thing it was.
That Patty. I
did. Yep, something.
Patty Duke.
Yep. That all sounds, I'm going to agree with whatever you say right now, on the air, yes.
Anyway, thanks, Craig, for doing this. I do appreciate it a lot. I appreciate WGN Plus for giving us the resources to do this. And so, okay, we're back at it on a weekly basis. We're back to writing the strip, back to Prickly City. I hope you tune in. If you want to keep up with us, we are at gocomics.com/prickly city or at scottstantis.com. You can also email us directly at pricklycity@gmail.com. Did I get everything? Okay, then. Hey, listen, thanks again for listening. Until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.